Then you figure out there's a process that can optimize that, how you can use the feedback from customers, how you can set up meetings, what roles in the team do you need. So this was also a big mind shift. When I was a developer, I really didn't understand what's the importance of the role of a product manager or a project manager. And it took me a few years to realize, because when I kicked off the company, I thought like, we will only have developers. We don't need those guys who do nothing, just have meetings. Yeah, and it took me a couple of years to see that actually now it's not going to work this way.
Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by Managed Cloud Hosting from Cloudways. As a product builder, whether you're just starting out or already selling to the ecosystem of site builders, having the assurance of your own hosted site that is fast, secure, and backed by 24/7 support is important to you. And if you're looking to get your name in front of our product builder listeners, we have one spot available for either a 6 or 12 month sponsorship here for this show. You can ping us on our site if you want to learn more about that, and I will be telling you more about Cloudways later in the show. Let's join our hosts, Jonathan Wold and Tammy Lister, as they chat with Alexander Gilmanov, the founder of TMS. Alexander shares his journey, stresses the importance of strong UX, and chats about the ecosystem, community, and events in our space. So let's join in on the conversation.
Welcome to another episode of Do the Woo. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Wold, and with me today is your other co-host, Tammy Lister. Tammy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's nice to be stable after a month of traveling. And we've got a fantastic guest today who joined us in part of those travels. Alexander, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Gilmanov.
Gilmanov. Excellent. Alexander, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And where in the world are you joining us today?
I'm in Belgrade, Serbia.
Excellent. You have a long background in the WordPress space. We've been excited for a while to have you on. When did WordPress first come on your radar?
Yeah, I think first time was back in, I don't remember the exact year, but probably around 2006, something like that. It was still early days, still some other CMS were, systems were popular. And I was building websites, some websites for the company I worked for at the moment. And also I was doing some freelancing and I was looking for a CMS that could help me. And yeah, WordPress was on the radar as one of the easiest to set up and like 5 minute install. And you remember how it used to be back then.
And what about WooCommerce? So you have WordPress from an early day, and then when did WooCommerce first come into the picture for you?
WooCommerce, I don't also remember the exact year, and it also happened during my freelance years. I think it was around 2012, maybe, 2013. I was doing freelance work through one of the platforms, and one of the requests was to build an online store. And of course, WooCommerce was the logical solution back then already.
Now, and today we're going to be talking about product and we've got questions about the products that you work on. Before we jump into that, would you mind just giving us an overview of what you do in the WordPress and WooCommerce space, like as a company? Just give us just a high level overview for folks who don't know yet.
We run a company called TMS. But most people don't know us by that brand. Most people know us by one of the products. We develop and maintain three products at the moment. Two of those are in the WordPress space. One is called WP Data Tables. It's a tables and charts management tool, but also a powerful data interaction tool. It works with databases. It can build charts in multiple engines. It can work with very large tables of millions of rows. And this is actually the tool that helped us kick off the company. It was first my own pet project, which developed into a script that I could sell, then developed into a plugin that I could sell and support. And it was the first product. The other one, which is probably the most popular and that has the most to do with WooCommerce, is called Amelia. It's a booking plugin. It automates appointment bookings and event bookings, and it integrates deeply with WooCommerce for all things checkout, payments, invoices, and many other things that we don't support natively in the booking engine, but that WooCommerce can do. And the third product is a standalone SaaS platform. It's called Draft. It was initially meant to be Amelia SaaS, but for a number of reasons, we decided to rebrand it and to launch it as a separate product with a different design, with a different engine, completely revamped. For the time being, it does have WordPress integration, but WooCommerce integration is among the next top things for us to develop. But we do plan that. And with WooCommerce, I mostly already mentioned, we rely on it for so many things that we wouldn't have enough time to cover internally, like so many different payment providers for different parts of the world, for Asia, for Middle East, for North America as well, different taxation systems, integrations. WooCommerce already has all the infrastructure developed for that. So what we do is we try to focus on building the very best booking engine. And then when people come to check out, if they have the online payments, we hand this over to WooCommerce and to WooCommerce checkout.
Sounds like you've had probably quite a journey in scaling in particular from a product perspective. So I would really love you to share how you're creating your company both now and how has your product process also changed as you have kind of scaled?
I think the main change came around 2-3 years after we launched the first product. And I'm saying we, but back then it was only myself because I'm a full stack developer myself. I didn't touch code already for a few years now, but my education, and initially I was a full stack developer, and that's how I developed WP Data Tables. It was a solution for my own problem because almost every project I had needed some kind of interactive table, and I just created a reusable module. And then I built a plugin as a wrapper of this module and kept developing it. But what I found out a few years down the line is that product that's built like that, a very technical product, it's a very niche solution on one hand, because it's all these very technical tables, databases, charts. On the other hand, it's very hard to promote and market. It's very hard to identify the target audience. We could say we promote to developers, but by that we narrow down all the other people that can maybe find our product helpful. For example, we have financial companies, crypto investors, or traditional investors that also need real-time tables. And if you would market it as a developer's first product, they would probably not even pay attention to that. And what I found out with such a product that it's hard to build marketing funnel around this way. And for the next product, I was constantly thinking about a niche that, first of all, is interesting to me because it's hard to develop something that doesn't excite me, but also something related to e-commerce or some kind of business. And it is this, which is some kind of an evergreen niche. And this is how I came up with bookings, because this is one of the things that seems very simple when you just think about it on first sight. On the first sight, you think it's just a form, you fill in the data, pick the time and dates, and that's it. There's not much to code around it. But when you go deeper, there are so many combinations, so many things that you can do wrong or not think about it on the first sight. So it's very interesting from the coding perspective, but also very interesting from the marketing perspective, because we can identify verticals, we can create different messages. Also, we can start from the end value that people in these verticals really want with this product. So like what beauty salons really want what the owners want, what the website builders want when they create a website for a salon. So this was, I think, the biggest changes in my mindset, like from thinking as a developer, from thinking code first to thinking and value first and marketing first, but not in a sense that I also see some products that have very cool advertising, but then they don't deliver. For me, good marketing is when it does exactly what it advertises. I think this was the biggest change, but also, just had another thought. I think another biggest change was the transition from a solopreneur kind of company and from...
I was going to ask about that. Yeah, please.
Two, three people kind of company to a full cycle team and to establishing at least first process, first cycle, because there is cycle interacting with customers, testing, developing. When you do it for the first one or two times, you're improvised, but then you figure out there's a process that can optimize that, how you can use the feedback from customers, how you can set up meetings, what roles in the team do you need. So this was also a big mind shift. And I think maybe many developers will find this relevant, because while back then when I was a developer, I really didn't understand what's the importance of the role of a product manager or a project manager. And it took me a few years to realize, because when I kicked off the company, I thought like, we will only have developers. We don't need those guys who do nothing, just have meetings. Yeah, and it took me a couple of years to see that actually, no, it's not going to work this way. At least not, it won't be optimal.
Can you tell us more about, I'm just curious, because there's more things we want to get into. I want to talk about the ecosystem, but that particular insight, I mean, you share that so nonchalantly, but I think that's deeply significant. And a lot of people don't make that transition. So you went from a full stack developer who with this idea of like, we just need developers, to, it sounds like you have a positive view of the role of product managers and project managers, et cetera. How was that transition for you? Like, how did you get there? Was it just this is what other people do, we need to do it as well? Did it come from a place of pain of realizing we need to do it? Or like, how did you make that transition?
It wasn't a shift or a click or a switch overnight. I would say it was a little bit of all of that that you mentioned. So first I tried to do it the way I thought it works, because when you're a solopreneur developer and you are so passionate about your own product, your baby that was just your idea, and now there is code, there's people using it, they are sending tickets and they have questions and they're engaged, and you expect from new people you are going to hire that they are going to have the same level of understanding of everything that you understand, and that they are going to have the same level of passion, and that they will work like small clones of yourself. And it was the first lesson that even the very good developers said, it doesn't work this way. And you need to have some kind of instructions for what they do and how they do it, at least some basic level of it. But also on a daily basis, you need someone to coordinate, to sync them, to also when design kicks in, when the UX design, UI design kicks in, and when support kicks in and new feature requests kick in, there are getting more and more of different pipelines, different queues, different requests. And in the beginning, I was doing all of that myself. But as someone who started the company, I also have accounting, buying chairs for the office, payroll and all that. And yeah, first 2 years were quite exciting. I think I had like 12 hours per day workday. And still there were months early on that like I had to share everything on payroll and didn't generate any profits for first couple of months. But yeah, this, I think little by little, it pushed me into looking like, how do other people do this? And what is agile process? What's Scrum? At first, it sounded like it's fluff and something people just keep talking every day. What's the use of that? But the more you start learning about this, the more you go from hard skills of coding, developing into the more soft skills of interacting with people and trying to make five people work as single unit, as a single team, the more you realize the significance of it. And it wasn't easy. I'd say it took us maybe 3-4 years to build the foundation, the core team. It took also a little bit of back and forth. We had to try a few people for the role. It wasn't, every hire wasn't immediately a success. So I'd say, yeah, it was a journey.
Wow. I love the, so we've met with a lot of folks and, I find it curious, like there's a certain like calm that you're bringing to these very, like you're describing a very tumultuous process for most people, right? Like it's a very, like you have a particular way of viewing things. Some people get the benefit of just starting out knowing, okay, this is what we're going to need to do. Maybe they came from a product company, but if you came up as a developer, it's great to hear, but I think you're, I feel like there's an understatement of just the amount of change and difficulty that comes with like this process that you're describing. I'm really curious for, you know, you've been in this ecosystem for a long time and you started out like on the service side of things, doing development, saw a need for product, created that product. And it sounds like you gave a lot of time and space. Like you guys have been at this for a while now. You've gone from solopreneur to a company. As you take a look at the ecosystem broadly, both WordPress and the WooCommerce space, what are, for you as a product company, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see in the ecosystem today?
Speaking about today, I would say that the ecosystem really matured and it's going through different stage of cycle when I compare it to 10 years ago when we started. So 10 years ago, it was more like forums of hackers that share information with each other, this open source freedom atmosphere. And it wasn't really like, it was a little bit, it felt a little bit like a game more. It still has this feeling, but, and back then you couldn't really create, I think, a level of business that you can create today. And over the years, it was more people were coming to WordPress community. Their CMS is growing and it's projected to grow for at least a few years. And I hope it will continue. It's up to all of us. But today, I think it's much, much harder to come up with an idea. If I'm talking about beginners, someone who's just thinking to join, it's harder to break through the threshold of creating an open source tool just to share the value and creating a real self-sustainable business out of that. I think it's much more challenging because most niches are already have a variety of different tools for everything, like for booking, for e-commerce, for creating pages, for all things that are related to WordPress. What else I'd say is a challenge? And also it, I would say it applies to other areas because for my very first product, I didn't even think much about UX, UI design. I just solved this problem, like creating tables. And then overnight, I came up with the interface I could come up with in one night. And I just pushed it and people started using it because most of them were also quite technical. And for them, it was easy to learn it. But today, I think people expect much more work to be put into the UX, into the whole funnel, and to how easy it's to download, install, and start using it. And to build an MVP in today's world in the WordPress and WooCommerce ecosystem, I think back then you could create an MVP in maybe 2 months, 3 months. Today, I'd say you need more than a year, especially if you do it on your own. These are like the challenges I can say, I can mention from the top of my head. Also, there is a challenge, but I would say it's mostly a frustration of many of us, of product companies. I heard it many times at the different WordPress events, is the GPL and the open source nature. you know, it's a great thing. And I'm a believer in the open source model. But at the same time, some people try to abuse it. And sometimes you'll see people trying to just not be inspired from your product, but physically copy-pasting at least parts of the product and renaming it. And this is maybe not so much of a challenge because you still need a team and you need a process, and it's not just about the code, but it can cause a lot of frustration to the product guys.
As a product builder, whether you are just starting out or already selling to the ecosystem of site builders, having the assurance of your own hosted site that is fast, secure, and backed by 24/7 support is important to you. Managed cloud hosting from Cloudways gives you a fully optimized stack with built-in advanced cache and CDN to boost performance. And to make sure you have the right tools, you can find the most popular apps that you can host on those top-rated cloud hosting providers that will give you the ability to scale your servers when peak traffic season demands growth for your product or service. With all of that and affordable hosting costs, why not head over to cloudways.com and find the right plan for your business?
I wonder if you were going to give any bit of advice, you know, looking kind of, you've kind of said you kind of learn and what you kind of learn in your journey. If you were kind of going to stand here and give some one piece of advice, just one piece of advice to someone who's going to create something today, what would that be?
I would say that the only way to succeed in this today is to first focus on the value and on creating a very, very useful free tool. I think that's the way to go. First of all, if you start trying to create a monetized product right away, a business right away, I think it might be hard to get it published and sold, and it might create a frustration for you. And while when you create it as a free tool, you will see people using it, you will see how excited they are, you will see the positive feedback, and it will, first of all, drive your motivation, and also it will fuel your growth. For first year or two, I think that's the only way to get started now. And I also think, and that's the difference of the ecosystem, at least how I see the WordPress ecosystem today and WooCommerce ecosystem, that the community is really open-minded, really open. And I think that one of the key things is to attend meetings online and offline, to attend events, to network with people, to exchange ideas, because some of the best ideas and some of the best changes in my mindset came through discussions on WordCamps, on local meetups with some guys who are just active in the WooCommerce or WordPress ecosystem, but maybe they do something different. Maybe they develop a team and they have some insights that we don't have while we work on the bookings. So these are maybe the top two things I'd recommend.
It's great advice. It hasn't gone without noticing, particularly for me with my background, that you mentioned UX a few times. So I really love, absolutely, from your perspective, you were in a really good position to take the advice and the learnings that you have and pass it on. So what do you really think is the role of UX, and how should people really understand that now?
UX, I think it's one of the pain points, I'd say, of the whole ecosystem, partially because today's WordPress WooCommerce architecture, historically, how it turned out to be today, because there are so many different interfaces you need to learn, so many settings, WordPress global settings, WooCommerce settings, theme settings, plugin settings, and then caching server. And then, for someone who just started this just today, it's too much. Even for me, it's too much when I try something new. So this is like the key thing that I think all of us as a community need to work on. UX is a very simple concept. Like, you really need to focus on the user's experience. For us, what we do is we proactively reach out to users when they do allow for some of our products. For example, for our online platform, when they do give consent, we record their behaviors And then it helps to figure us out when they get confused, because we look at our product every day. For us, everything is super logical. We don't look for the save button, for different sections, how different things are done. But people can get completely lost in the easiest things. Like I saw that someone filled in settings for three times, then didn't even realize they not intentionally, but they clicked the cancellation, like not saving the changes, and they didn't realize that. They do that because it wasn't obvious enough that this message says that. And UX is really about, I'd say it's about major things, like putting the larger components where they should be. And it's maybe even more about the details. Like, look how they interact at the moment, and what different things we can tweak and help them. And no one can tell us this better than users. Designers really love fancy designs. They love minimalistic designs. They love something looking very neat and tidy. And it does look nice when we look at it at their portfolios. But one of our biggest customers' frustrations was when we replaced like good old looking calendar in the booking with this neat, stylish, minimalistic, polished new calendar. And it had so many flaws for the end user. They don't care about the design at this point, like about the fanciness of the design. So yeah, we had to take a step back and to revert to one that was really functional, and that was the one where they know where to look for things, and not only old customers, but new customers.
That's quite the tension too, because one of the values in WordPress that we've had from the beginning is this idea of utility, which has never been disconnected from things also looking good. But it's an interesting tension there when you have someone who doesn't think about the utility of something. Like, they might design something good without thinking through. I mean, this is I have so much respect for the work that Tammy and the team had worked. Like, Tammy spent 5 years on the Gutenberg project, right? Where it's like, you have to maintain that tension of utility, because this is going to be used every day by people creating the project, and also caring about the user experience. It's really hard, and it's something that takes like years often of cycling through it. You can't just say, like, a designer, I've worked with some folks who are like, they love the idea of coming in with a clean slate and just like make it look good from the beginning. And it's like, if it's an actively used product, there's so much utility you have to think about. And yes, you can change behavior, make updates. A lot of like the Gutenberg project was at the heart of changing paradigms from like text to blocks, but it's a lot of work. And it sounds like you've been right at the heart of that, where you've experienced it firsthand. You can't just like release a new thing and take away something people are expecting.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things where there are no easy ways, easy solutions. We are working on redesign right now, and it's constantly on our minds. And we released a major redesign of the front end, which was, we all thought it's objectively better than the old one, because old one was like 5 years old and it was already outdated. But yeah, whenever we do such things, at least for the first few months, we don't hear praises and positive feedback so often, but very often we hear like, why did you do that? Everything worked perfectly. I didn't want to touch this. Now I need to get used to it. My customers need to get used to it. I don't care about the beauty of the design. Eventually they get used to it, and we are trying to find softer ways. I see that it's not only our pain. I saw that some major, Google, for example, if we can mention them, they like had this warning for 2 months that they are going to change the sign up and sign in experience. This is such a small thing. For example, I don't care how the fields in this form, what's the order, how it looks, because it's just sign up. But it seems that for them and for their user base as a whole, it's a big change. So they had to give a warning 2 months in advance, like, we will change this in 2 months. It will be.
Oh, there were a lot of feelings about that.
I remember when the change launched, I was like, really? All that for this? Yeah. Like, and I, for at least for me as a user, I asked a little bit of that question. I was in that same space, because I've been using that login for years and years and years. I'm like, was this better? All I really saw was my screen got wider and now it's a little like, who knows?
Or device compatibility or like unification throughout platforms or something like that. There might be, when we built a sign up for Truft, we also thought it's just login, but then there are so many things around it, like forgot password, logins.
It's never just, it's always kind of the you never say that word, right?
Yeah, and generally with UX, it's the example that our designer uses on interviews to see how the designers really think about that, because like about the inputs, if they say it's all straightforward, just design the input, then probably they don't take everything into consideration, like empty states, validation, all the different cases.
Well, and especially when you get into something complex like booking, you need to know that you're hiring people who are thinking about those, all the different possibilities, including things that you can't foresee, right? Anytime, especially if you're building in the WordPress WooCommerce space, people are going to use your software in ways that you probably did not anticipate.
Exactly.
And obviously you can't count for everything, but the more that you can think about that. Alexander, as you look ahead at the next year, you've got this like wide range of product experience, right? You have the WordPress focused product with WP Data Tables, with Amelia, you have that booking, the commerce side of things, and with Traft, you've got this SaaS experience. Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to, like as a business, over just, let's just take the next year first? Anything that you're looking ahead for that you're excited about?
We are pretty excited about, for us, it was a big, revelation how powerful partnerships can be, because we used to be so isolated. We don't have a very large market here in Serbia, so we are used to being our own shell and doing everything remotely. And now through different communities, through meeting people, through creating different integrations, we feel that we found one additional distribution channel, which may be more powerful than many of our other distribution channels that we used and built before. And we are looking into partnering more with agencies, because in the WordPress space, but also for the SaaS space where we are active, this is the key. How can we reach the end customers without reaching them manually one by one? We can rely on the agency partnerships. Also, integrations with different SaaS solutions, WordPress solutions. Last events with WordCamps and the CloudFest were very productive in this sense. We have a lot of agreed partnerships and integrations, and we now need to figure out with the team how are we going to prioritize that and how we'll build our roadmap without stopping the features, but also with rolling out all these different integrations. I think these are the key things I'm excited about, because this is something pretty new to me still. We did have integrations before that, but we never paid so much attention. I didn't realize how powerful this can be.
So with that, it sounds like there probably are quite a few things that you could build or create within your product. How do you decide what to focus on next within your product?
We have a few ways for doing this. We have a feature voting system where our users can suggest features and vote for features. So if they like a feature someone else suggested, they can vote for it. And it became a standard in the industry, more or less. I think we were one of the first back then to start using it. It's a great way to get feedback from customers. Also, the support system, we can always measure what's more or less desired. But to be honest, it doesn't dictate the roadmap. And sometimes users seem very upset by that, because they say like, this feature here has 1,000 votes. Why didn't you start building it yet? It's been a year. We still keep the decision within the team. There is a core team that's been here. Someone has been for 7-8 years. Someone has been for 5 years, but there's a core team. Technical leads, the product leads, we take into consideration user feedback, state in the market. Of course, we also look at what others do, including competitors and platforms we like that are not necessarily our competitors, but maybe that figured out a nice way to do things. One of the areas is obviously AI, because not because it's a buzzword, but because with the current state of the evolution, it can really bring a lot of value. And in the booking field, we are now finalizing some experiments with building the booking process through a chatbot that can learn on a website. And once we are satisfied with this, we want to connect it also to social media messengers, all the different mobile messengers, because we feel that today customers want to stay in the ecosystems they prefer. And if they are constantly on some social network and they find a barbershop they like, it's very nice for them if they can book an appointment with them in a chat-like discussion. And they don't even care if it's a bot, I think. So this is, for example, one of the things we prioritized for our internal R&D, even though it wasn't in the feature vault system. So yeah, we take everything into consideration. We rely on our own internal compass, let's say.
I'm curious. I want to expand on that a bit because I think there's something very, I think, deeply significant. First, you talked about the developer. Like at first with the WP data tables, you had the developer audience in mind. Then you realized that you didn't want to just focus on that, right? And with that broader focus, it introduces attention because how you message and how you speak to a broader audience is different than if you're focusing. Because like if you just talk to developers, then you miss out on people who are interested in just the finance side. Now, I think some folks will end up in the situation, maybe they introduce the customer feedback feature and voting. And there are people who quite literally, like that is how they determine. Like that becomes the highest weighted input, right? Customers said that we want this, so we do this. And I think you hear this idea that like the customer's like, well, I guess you hear both. The customer's not always right, or the customer is always right. And people, or you hear people like Steve Jobs, this idea that they don't know what they want until like you give it to them, right? And it's not trivial to navigate all these different things because it's like there's not a right or wrong. And I'm hearing a consistent pattern in your experience of it feels like you guys have figured out ways to do that. And what I'm hearing from you is it's a combination of different inputs, right? So it's like, yes, you were early to that customer feature voting. You obviously care about that. Yet for some reason, like, it became clear to you that that can't be the dominant input, that you have to take other things into consideration. How did you as a company, how do you feel like you got to that point? It feels like you have a pretty balanced view that also includes how you think about events. Like you weren't really doing that before, but now you are. Like, how do you think you got there where you're able to sort of take that balance, maintain a tension between the inputs to, it sounds like, pretty consistently, like, make the right call?
I'm glad it sounds this way. I would say we don't always necessarily do the right call. And maybe for me, this is the one of the important things. One of the things I needed to learn is to allow yourself to make mistakes, just to give a proper measure to that. Like, not allow yourself to fail completely, but to experiment in a range where you can make mistakes. We did try multiple ways of measuring the epics or like large features. We use Agile Scrum as the main methodology, but we adjusted it to our team. And I think this is the right way to do this because the whole Agile idea is to be flexible and to serve the team and the end purpose, not to slave the team to the ways of doing Agile. We tried like Moscow, like must have, should have, could have, this way of prioritization. We also did different games when we get all these different epics, because whenever we collect all the things we want and all the things user wants and all the things that market starts dictating, like maybe the design trends changed or something like that, we put it all in one big room, in one wall. And we try to put a value on everything, like technical complexity, value for end user, how will we promote and market this? And we did all that. And I think by doing this, we don't do this every time now, but it gave us, because the team, the core team is staying the same throughout the years, and this is the big. I'm quite happy about that. I'm really, really grateful to the team for the loyalty. This gives us the kind of gut feel that is right most of the times. We cannot claim to be right all of the time. And yeah, there were multiple instances where we didn't do the right thing, or we didn't do the right thing the right way, or we confused our customers. It just happens, and it will happen to everybody. And you just need to accept it in a certain way.
It sounds like what I would infer from what you're describing is that you've worked hard to create a, what I'll just describe as like a safe space for your company where it, like, A, you have continuity. People are wanting to stay there over time. So that means you're doing something right. And B, like you're able to make mistakes and learn from those and iterate, which to me, like that's what I'm hearing. It's like, how do you do it? Like, yes, you take in a range of different input. You stay open and curious, take in more. And then ultimately you just have to try things. And then when it doesn't work, as inevitably will, you learn from that. And if you're creating a culture where it's safe to do so, then you get the maximum benefit from those mistakes. It seems like a key to what I'm hearing that has worked well in the company that you've built so far.
Yeah, I agree, and I like how you put this.
Yeah,
of course, I think the prerequisite is the right people. You can't just get any people and try this. So you will also make mistakes with the people in the first few iterations, probably. And I'm not saying that there are wrong, the bad people or good people, but like in the combination that you are building, someone will be a match, someone won't be a match.
I love it. Last question from me, and then back over to Tammy. When I think about, so you mentioned events, I'd just love to hear more. So we have some of the big events in WordPress. We have the WordCamps, of course, the big ones. You were at CloudFest this year. Do the Woo was there as well, which was awesome. Would you just touch on like how important do you feel these events are? Like, how do you think about like ROI, your return on investment for investing in events like this in our ecosystem?
Yeah, well, my first advice, if someone didn't attend yet or didn't get a booth yet, but thinking about this, is first, yes, you definitely should do this. And that second is don't think about the ROI, because it's not going to happen in the literal way. You will not going to close X number of deals there. But this is not the value of the event. For me, honestly, I was positively shocked first time when I attended WordCamp. It was here in Belgrade. I knew that WordCamps are happening, that it's a thing, but I thought it's more or less same that other IT conferences, and I attended many before that. And I was positively shocked to see it's much more like a party or a festival, and the core team of organizers and people who attend every WordCamp, they all know each other, and there's such a positive atmosphere and people share knowledge. I met Sujay, for example, first time in Belgrade, and this WordCamp was such a breakthrough moment for me. He shared so many advice that I never would, it would take me years to realize those things by myself. And he showed me, like, he opened his internal system, the CRM. He showed how they sell products. Like in most of other industries, people would hide everything. They will not share data with you. They would think like you will abuse this. You will, it will cannibalize their own sale or something. And it didn't happen in WordCamp. Every WordCamp, I learned so many things that are not necessarily commercial or like exact knowledge, but it changes the mindset in a certain way. You start looking broader things. You understand the ecosystem better. And this kind of thing, it doesn't have a literal ROI, but at the same time, it's huge. Other thing for us, because we've always attended WordCamps as a team, while we were still relatively small, like the whole team would go. When it was in Belgrade, we rented, we didn't have a lot of budget for that, but we rented a hostel for for all of the team. They were all packed there in different, in like very small rooms, and but they were all together. And this kind of thing for a product company like ours, the overall experience of the traveling, having internal parties, then meeting other teams, having parties with them, it's first of all such a great team building, forming our team and the unity. On the other hand, it helps so much to build team members, how they see the WordPress ecosystem, understand better what they are doing for what kind of market. It's exciting for them. It's also changes their mindset in a similar way as I described for myself. So these things you can't really do anywhere else. You can pay for online courses, for education. You can do internal team buildings, but it's just not the same. So this is the real ROI for me in the events.
I 100% agree with that. I think it's really great to kind of hear that you kind of have that life experience of that as well. We talk so much about kind of work and creating products as well. You need to recharge though, and you need to kind of have energy to create. So what recharges you? What do you do in your off time? How do you have the energy to keep going with what you do?
It's a very good question. And there were periods when I was feeling I'm running out of energy. Well, first of all, I really had to work on my lifestyle. I quit drinking. I'm doing a lot of sports. So it's like more or less classical ways of keeping the internal energy for myself. Also, I see our team and the atmosphere in the team as the source of energy, not as a source of wasting energy, if you know what I mean. Because I also use it to work in different environments. And if it's always attention to explain things to people, to make sure you're on the same page, if there is always kind of culture mismatch you need to think about, it will drain the energy. But for us, I am really lucky, and we are all really lucky that we created a team, a company that doesn't even feel like a company. And because of that, when we were looking for an office, I rented like a family house, and we are working from this family house. We have a pool. We have a pool party tomorrow. Not all of the people are coming to the office every day, but we try to get together. And when I look at that, we can spend time together. It gives me a lot of energy to keep going. And also, last but not least, is the feedback I get from the customers. It's been 10 years from the first, and it's actually been even 11 years, not so long ago, from the first release of WP Tables. But today, same as the first day, when I look at it, when I see that the code that I was writing in a dark room somewhere 12 years ago is now, for example, showing currency exchange rates in a central bank website of one African country, or that some person in California is using the plugin that was just an idea in my head not so long ago, and they are sometimes frustrated or excited, but they're so engaged. So this feeling is something that is more valuable than the revenue and the financial side of things. And it keeps me going as well, because before products, we used to have an agency. We provided software development services, and it was also a nice business, but it didn't click with me so well. It didn't recharge me as much as product. When we release a new version, when we worked so hard on it, and when we release, we push the change log, and this is the feeling of pride, and like we finished something big. It's also recharging the battery.
Alexander, this has been fantastic. Really enjoy you. Really appreciate you taking the time with us, and have enjoyed hearing about your experience and your journey. Looking forward to seeing how this evolves over the next couple of years. If someone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Alexander Gilmanov. I'm trying to read through my inbox. It's not some automated sales sequence. I'm answering to everybody. So I think that's the best way, because the email is just overloaded with all the automated sequences.
Excellent. So, Alexander, thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you at the next WordCamp.
Yeah, hope to see you soon in Torino. Thank you so much.
Torino, I'll see you there.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I would like to thank Alexander for joining us to share his journey, as well as insights and experience as a product builder and as a member of our community. Would also like to thank cloudways.com for their support, and if you are interested in joining them as a sponsor here, just let us know at dothewoo.io. Until the next time.